we were down about 8% for 2016 compared to 2015. And then if you look at our Part 1 crimes, which are typically the more serious crimes, those were down a little bit compared to 2015 as well for 2016. And I think in looking at the five-year average, it was the second lowest, only following 2013, and it was pretty comparable. It was a little bit higher, but again, it was, we're talking 40 or 50 crimes, not hundreds of crimes.
There are always year-to-year aberrations because some of the data sets are fairly small, and that can result in fairly sizable percentage swings. And in a town the size of Normals, there can be a few bad actors who account for a significant number of crimes, and when they're locked up, that category goes down. Residential burglaries is one of those in the past that's mm-hmm. had. Are there anything of note in that kind of happening in the last year?
As much as we try and be proactive in some things with education on different stuff, we are still a lot reactive when we're looking at crime data that comes in, whether it be on a daily basis or a weekly basis, and looking at, is that average? Is that normal? Are we having spikes in certain areas of town? And so, again, we spend a lot of time looking at that. So, to your point, you know, there certainly were times, for example, last year and beginning of 2016, we started off probably February and March in a spike, especially in the burglary categories. A lot of that was driven by there were a tremendous amount of vehicle burglaries that were going on out there. So we kind of looked at it, determined where we could make differences, where we could do some education, found that a lot of, you know, 90-some percent, almost 98% of the vehicle burglaries that were happening were unlocked vehicles. And so we tried to educate people on those. We went into certain areas of town where those were occurring. And then we also took some proactive steps, too, in having some additional enforcement details out there looking for those kind of violations. And you're right, you get a group of individuals. It's usually not one, but a group of individuals who you're able to take into custody, and you clear up a whole bunch of them, then you find that they kind of return to what the normal is. And so that was kind of the story in 2016, one where we started off on a big spike, and, you know, we took some actions really to kind of turn that around. And one burglary category was one of those overall that saw a pretty drastic reduction last year.
What did the index crime show in terms of increase or decrease?
Sure, yeah. I think overall there was a decrease in 16 compared to 2015. The majority of those were in that burglary and theft categories where we saw some pretty sizable decreases. We did see some increases in the areas of the aggravated assault or battery categories and in the robbery categories. But again, those are kind of smaller in number when they're reported.
Is the increase in robbery related to drug addicts needing cash?
You know, I would say I look at it and I think it's pretty cyclical. I mean, you could certainly make that argument that it could be somebody who's down on their luck, who obviously somebody who gets to a point where they want to go into a store or go into an establishment and use force to take money and commit a pretty serious crime is going to have to be in a frame of mind that we're probably, you and I, aren't familiar with. But I would think that in looking at it, although last year was a little bit of an uptick, you compare it to previous years and it's really about on par with that. So I would say it's kind of one of those give and takes when you look at it across the board. Last year was a little bit up in that area. Previous years we've had it where it was down. I don't know that there's anything that's really that would tie it to that. I mean, again, we've had a little bit of an increase in some of the hybrid gang activities throughout town, which could lead to some of that. Individuals who want to make a name for themselves, or as you mentioned, someone who wants to go in and just needs the money to either feed their family or feed their addiction. But the good thing in that is, although it is a very dangerous situation during those times, we had, you know, no serious injuries as a result of that during the course of the year.
Your counterpart in Bloomington, Chief Hefner, mentioned that there had been an effort to address some of the hybrid gang activity by cracking down on some actual juveniles that were trending that way, and that resulted in some modest reduction in shootings in the latter part of the year. The early part of the year was shooting heavy in Bloomington. How are you tackling the hybrid gang activity? What are you targeting?
Well, I mean, certainly when we're looking at that, we're looking at crimes of violence. And early in 2016, I think over the course of about a month and a half period, we had 7 incidents, what we would consider legitimate, either shooting or shots fired where we got there. There's either evidence of shots being fired, witnesses actually testified to that or made statements that they saw weapons being used. And so we tried to dial down on those pretty quickly. I mean, with the use of just kind of community awareness, but also with retasking our investigations division, our problem-oriented policing division or group, and our patrol divisions, just sharing the information and having them be out in the communities looking at those kind of things. And obviously some of those players that come from one to the other, and you kind of get to know those individuals, then we start looking at them. You know, is it a matter of just the wrong place, wrong time, or are they now actually an active individual in those? And so once we sort through those, that's where the investigation division comes into play and a lot of those interviews and follow-ups and stuff, because we think, you know, you make an arrest or two in those cases where you might have some of them that are linked together, and you take one or two people off the street, all of a sudden they stop or they go down to nothing. And so that's what we found earlier in the year last year, was with those, out of those seven incidents in Normal, and I think Bloomington had certainly a higher level in just when we were able to kind of focus in on it and remove a couple of those individuals from the street that were players in those, they seem to really stop.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're speaking with the police chief in the town of Normal, Rick Bleichner. Another area where addiction tends to stimulate crime is shoplifting. As people have an addiction, they need money to feed it. They look for first nonviolent ways and may eventually, if they get desperate enough, go to violent ways of generating money. So a lot of property loss in businesses tends to be tied to that. What did you see last year?
No, I would actually say our numbers, I think, with relation to that were pretty consistent with past years. I mean, you're right when you look at it. That's probably the most common theme, is that individuals who either have an addiction, they take something, they steal it, they take it to the pawn shops or another location, try and sell it on Craigslist to get whatever money they can, and then use that to turn it around and feed their addiction. But we work pretty closely through our community service unit with loss prevention associates throughout different businesses in town to make them aware of that and you know, try and share that information. I can tell you, too, that sometimes that's a double-edged sword, because, you know, a business who may then become a little more proactive, all of a sudden you start to see your numbers start to really increase in that area. And it's not necessarily a sign that there's more crime there. It's just that those businesses are doing a little better job about detecting them and stopping people and then contacting us. Because, you know, there's a fair amount, obviously, that we get called on, but there's some that don't even reach a certain threshold that the stores handle themselves, ban people from the stores, and don't even bother calling us on.
Who were the major drivers in town for that kind of report?
As far as the retail thefts,
mm-hmm.
The majority of them are what I think you would probably expect. The larger stores, you know, your larger retailers, your Myers, your Walmarts, things like that, who have a variety of different, you know, goods to sell. And they have the most, I would say, a higher number than a lot of the other businesses and just customers through there in a daily basis. And those are the ones who we typically tend to get more calls from. Again, doesn't mean that they've got a bigger problem. It's just the volume of people through there in any given day is higher than a lot of other businesses.
How much of your total demand for service goes to the bigger places, the Myers and Walmarts?
Oh, I wouldn't say that it's, I mean, a large amount. I don't have that number right off the top of my head. But again, when you look at the retail thefts, you know, again, I mentioned the Meijer and the Walmart. Surprisingly, we get a fair amount of calls from Menards, with people taking products and tools and things like that there. So, you know, the whole goal there for us is when people call, we respond. And that's, again, whether it's a small business or a large business.
Yeah, in some cities, it's a major drain on police time.
Mm-hmm.
Can you estimate how much it is in Normal?
In looking at it in the grand scheme of things, as far as our calls for service, it's not something that takes up or takes time away from our other needs and other patrol activities. There's still, you know, a fair amount of time in which our officers have that is non-obligated during the day, in which they can use as discretionary to do other patrols and stuff like that during the course of the day.
Each year tends to inform the next one in priorities and tweaks in the attention that patrol officers are asked to give to certain things. How are you reconfiguring this year based on last year's numbers?
Well, I mean, some of the things we look at, obviously, we don't. A lot of it, like I mentioned before, is reactive. So obviously, we're still, as much as we try to be proactive, we're still largely reactive. When the community calls us, we respond and make determinations there. When we look at our last year, you know, what the crime trends were and things like that, again, we certainly look. We still want to focus on the violent crimes where we can make differences and looking at that, especially the burglaries and those kind of things, because you can kind of, there's enough of those that occur that you can kind of pattern those and draw some analysis from them. Whereas if you have, you know, 30 robberies in the course of a year, and some of those, when we say robberies, aren't necessarily somebody going into a store with a gun. That could be somebody who's walking down the street and grabs their cell phone and takes it, considered a strong-armed robbery. So they're a little bit more difficult to pattern when you've got, you know, a small number like that. But for us, we tend to look at that, again, trying to be proactive and looking at ways in which we can work with the neighborhoods, work with the citizens to find out some of those things and some of the trends that are going on. Again, the burglary areas, we work with our community service officer and working through the loss prevention departments. We work with them pretty extensively. And then again, a lot of it is just using that information and trying to determine, you know, how the patrol staff can utilize their staffing a little bit better on those. Then we look at it as far as some of the things that are a little bit easier to predict. And I say easier to predict, but traffic crashes were up a little bit last year compared to prior years. So that's one of the things when we start looking at the causes for the traffic crashes. Most of them are what you would typically expect. They're speed related. They're distracted driving related. There are people who are turning in front of other vehicles when they don't have the right of way. So we kind of look at that information and determine where the most of those accidents are occurring, and then we try and put together plans that will focus on those kind of violations in the areas where we're having the crashes.
Okay, where should I stay away from?
Well, a matter of fact, we're doing some distracted driving initiatives. Some of those major intersections along Veterans Parkway, partly because of volume, we have more traffic crashes, but also because some of the speeds are a little bit higher out there. On Veterans, it's 45, and typically when you've got a higher speed limit, those crashes, when they do occur, more likelihood for injuries. And so we're looking partly at the number of crashes, but also those areas where we've got personal injury accidents. Some of that appears to be on Veterans Parkway. Your other main thoroughfare is Main Street, but that doesn't mean that you should drive down College on your cell phone or either, because, again, that's kind of one of the things with the slight increase in traffic crashes. We're really just trying to look at how we can make the roads a little safer out there.